conference series in Boston. The series, of course, tied 1-1. Also, Denver meets Portland. Now the WGTD Friday forecast from the National Weather Service. Areas of patchy morning fog, except for Kenosha, where there is a dense fog advisory till 10 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny and seasonal. We could see some scattered afternoon sprinkles. Today's high, 53. Depending on where you are, it's either sunny or marginally foggy. 38 degrees now, Racine, 41 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am very, very excited to have in the studios this morning a very talented young man by the name of Noah Mercadillo. I had the pleasure of hearing Noah play the cello a few weeks ago when he competed in the Young Artist Competition for the Kenosha Symphony. I was one of the three judges, and actually the first young musician we heard on that Saturday morning was Noah, and he played up a storm and ended up winning first place. And not only that, he also won first place in the Racine Symphony Young Artist Competition. And because of that, he gets to perform with the Racine Symphony tomorrow night in the concert that brings this current season to a close. A little later in the hour, we're going to be hearing from the artistic director of the Racine Symphony, Maestro Pascal Larino. But first, we are going to be meeting this outstanding young cellist, Noah Mercadillo. And he, is, as a matter of fact, has brought his cello with him. And he'll be doing a little playing in our studio as well. Noah Mercadillo, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Glad that you are here. We really are honored to have you here and looking forward to talking to you. So first of all, tell us about how you first began playing the cello. Just how old were you at the time, and what were the circumstances under which you chose the cello or the cello chose you?
Okay, I can't remember what age I was, but I believe it was the summer before fourth grade where I started playing. And the year before that, my brother had just picked the viola. And I had always told my mom that I'm not going to play an instrument. I don't want to. I don't want to be like my brother like that. And the next year, when it came time to choosing one, after hearing all the instruments demonstrated for me, I just really remember enjoying like the sound of the cello. And I came home to my mom, and I was like, I want to play the cello. And she was just so surprised of me wanting to do that because of last year.
Yeah. Everybody gets to change their mind. What were the circumstances under which these instruments were demonstrated to you? Was this at school or in some other venue?
Yeah, I believe it was at school. And they just had other students, I believe just fifth graders, demonstrate it for us. And that's how I became to like the cello.
Wow. Now, before that, was music something that was important to you? I mean, did you like music class at school? Did you like listening to music at home? And was it just that you didn't want to play a string instrument? Or, I mean, how would you describe the place of music in your life at that point?
Music hasn't really been a big influence in my life yet until I started playing the cello. It just when I heard it, I just wanted to play it. Huh. And nothing before that had really made me like music that much.
Wow. So cello is the thing that's that made a huge difference in your life. So right from the start, did you love playing the cello? Or did you have any struggles early on to get kind of comfortable with it? Or did it feel like a good match right from the start?
That at first, I did not enjoy playing it. There were a lot of ups and downs for me and a lot of challenging times. And at home, everyone knew it. Everyone could tell. But now that I've just gone through so much with it and I have so many great experiences, I really just love playing the cello, and I just love to do that.
I can tell. Who was your first cello teacher?
My first teacher wasn't originally a cellist. It was a violist.
Oh.
It was my brother's teacher, actually. And it wasn't until about, I believe, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, until I had my first cello teacher.
With someone who specifically mm-hmm.
played the
a cellist.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now, it was actually a student at Tremper High School. He was a senior. And after I took from him, after he graduated, I took from his teacher, who's down in Illinois, Barb Cannon. And she's taught me ever since.
Very good. Who was the student at Tremper?
Kyle Pearl.
Okay. So you are actually in an impressive line of really fine cellists who have played at Tremper High School, and here you are. In fact, now I think you are principal cellist of the Tremper Orchestra.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experience of playing under Helen Breitenbach, who is the conductor there of the Tremper Orchestra, and what playing in the orchestra means to you.
It's a really great experience. Mrs. Breitenbach is really encouraging, and she's always positive and fun, and she's a really great teacher, and she really motivates me. And even when I'm feeling like I'm not playing that well, she really points out what I'm doing right, and it really makes me feel better about myself, and she's a really great teacher.
Very good. When you are principal cellist, does that come with any responsibilities? Are you responsible for the other cellists who are part of the section?
Yeah. So, for example, if there's a new fingering that we have to add to a part or new bowings, dynamic changes, I would have to communicate that to the rest of the cello section and have them write it into their parts. Or if there was specific things that just needed to be done in the piece that only I knew, then I had to communicate it back to the other cellists.
Right. I've heard some young musicians say that when they became the principal player of their section, that's often the first time in their lives that they've actually had to be a leader. it's often a really great growing and learning experience. Do you feel like that's been true for you?
Yeah, it really has. Involves a lot of like knowing what you're doing, knowing your part, and the other members should look at you as you're playing. They should be watching you to follow your bowing, making sure they assume that you're right, the principal. Mm. So you have to be doing the right things.
Right. So you're leading by example as much as anything.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking today in the first part of the morning show with Noah Mercadillo, who is a sophomore at Tremper High School here in Kenosha, and he is also the winner of the Racine Symphony Young Artist Competition, as he was also the winner of the Kenosha Symphony Young Artist Competition. As winner of the Racine Symphony Young Artist Competition, he will be playing with the Racine Symphony tomorrow night, playing a movement of the Cello Concerto in C Major of Franz Joseph Haydn. And he's going to actually be playing a little bit of music of Bach in just a few minutes. And a little bit later in the hour, we're going to hear from Maestro Pascal Larino, the artistic director of the Racine Symphony. So, Noah, over the course of the time that you have studied the cello, what would be some of the things that you have worked on the most? I mean, what are the kinds of, what are the ways in which a young cellist tries to be better, and what are the things that you've maybe worked on the hardest in order to become the really, really fine young cellist that you are today?
A lot of the things that I work on include making sure my bow hold is relaxed and there's not a lot of tension, and making sure that my whole body is relaxed. I stretch out my hands and I just do like a little bit of stretches before I play sometimes, and just to make sure I'm relaxed before I'm playing. And so I have full control over myself and there's no tension. Mm-hmm. Another thing would be practicing slowly and with a metronome. That really helps me get my part down, and just increasing the metronome beats per minute as I play, and that really helps me learn my part. And just making sure just the loose, the relaxed body, it really helps. Mm-hmm.
At what point did you start to realize this is really important to me and I really want to work hard on this? Because I know for a fact how devoted you are now to the cello. I mean, you said from the start that you love to play the cello. Right from the start, have you really worked hard on it? I mean, from the start, did you just love to practice all the time? Or at some point, did a light go on and you realize, I really want to get serious about this?
I didn't love to practice as soon as I started playing it, probably mainly because I wasn't that great at it and I just didn't like to hear myself like that. But as time went on, it wasn't until about 2 years ago probably, or a year ago, where I decided that I was really serious about this and I really wanted to continue practicing a lot and making sure I was the best I could be.
Mm. There's no greater feeling than being the best you can be. I mean, that's just such a sweet reward in and of itself, even apart from winning competitions and so on. So what is the music that turns you on the most? I mean, do you have favorite types of music that you especially enjoy playing, or particular composers or particular pieces that really light your fire, so to speak?
It would have to be composers and pieces that I listen to the most, because I'm not really at the level that I can play those. And if you're talking about cello repertoire, I would love Shostakovich, Prokofiev, and probably Barber, Samuel Barber.
Oh.
Those are probably my favorite top three composers.
And all 20th century.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should think all composers who write very challenging music that you're hoping to play someday, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you have particular cellists that you like to listen to a lot? Or, I mean, any cello heroes, so to speak?
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is this contemporary cellist. He's, I think he's about 25 years old. His name is Brandon Cho. And he has won, I think he came in sixth place in the Queen Elizabeth cello concerto competition. And I believe he competed in the Tchaikovsky International Competition, which I'm pretty sure only happens about 4 years. So that's really an honor to play in. And I found out about him when I was looking for recordings to listen to and sort of study about the Haydn. And I found his recording of the Haydn. I just really enjoyed the way he played it and everything that he does in it.
Cool. Yeah, I think that there's nothing more exciting than to come across an artist where you feel like, oh my gosh, I want to be able to play like that someday.
Yeah.
That's very, very exciting. Absolutely. In a second, we're going to talk about the Haydn Cello Concerto in C major, and this is the piece from which you're going to be playing a movement with the Racine Symphony tomorrow evening. Is that also the piece you played for the Kenosha Symphony competition?
Yeah, that is.
Very good. And did you get to play part of it with the Kenosha Symphony?
Yeah, I had two performances with them with that piece. It was for their kid concerts, where elementary school kids, really fifth graders, would come to Reuther and listen to us perform My piece and a couple other pieces that they played.
Very good. Is that the first time you've played in that situation, that is, as the soloist with a full orchestra, or had you had that opportunity before?
That was the first time I've ever done that.
What did that feel like?
It was really amazing. At first, I was really nervous, but the conductor and everyone just made me feel so comfortable with it, and they made sure that I knew that they were all listening to me, they were following me, and I was supposed to be leading them, and they would just follow me if anything went wrong or if I sped up or slowed down. But it was just a really comfortable and fun experience. It was great.
I should think that's a strange sort of shift in attitude, because, of course, most of the time when you are, for instance, playing in an orchestra, you're following a conductor, and it isn't about people following you in quite the same way as when you are the soloist in a concerto situation.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that that had to be really exciting. And now you get to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, probably this will be maybe even more fun, because you probably aren't going to be scared in the same way that you were.
Yeah, I just had the first rehearsal last night with them, and it went really well. I was expecting it to go not as well, because I had just had spring break, and I hadn't had as much time to practice as much, because I was on tour with the Tremper Golden Strings, and we went to South Carolina, and I didn't have a lot of practice time because it was a lot of performances over spring break. But now that I just had the first rehearsal with them, it has been really, really great. It was a great experience. Everyone was really nice, and they just made me feel really comfortable again.
Wonderful. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you brought your cello along and were willing to play a little something for us this morning.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really fun. So tell our listeners what you want to play for us today.
I'm going to play the Gigue from Bach's Suite number 3 from the Bach Cello Suites.
Right. So just to explain to our listeners, these works by Bach are intended for unaccompanied cello. So we're not hearing this without the accompaniment. It is meant to be played unaccompanied, and these are difficult works and also really, really intriguing and entertaining. So I'm looking forward to it. So Noah's going to take up his instrument, and we're going to try to scale things around wherever they need to be, and then we will hear him playing for us the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Again, this is Noah Mercadillo. Beautifully done, and under less than ideal circumstances. We have kind of cramped quarters here for the cello, and you handled that just beautifully, Noah. Again, that was music of Johann Sebastian Bach from one of his solo partitas. That was the Gieg, and Noah Mercadillo, the winner of the Racine Symphony's most recent Young Artists Competition. That's a first for you, right? To be playing in a radio studio. So mm-hmm. Very good. Let's hear about the work that you will be playing with the Racine Symphony, namely a movement from the cello concerto of classical composer Franz Joseph Haydn. First of all, when did you begin working on this piece, and what do you like about it?
I believe I began working on it in about, I think, November or October. And I really like that there are a lot of moments in this piece where I get to play with a light tone and it's beautiful. But then there are other times where these growly, low, deep chords, and it allows me to just have a lot of different styles of playing. Hmm. And there are many phrases in the piece that feature the cello's warm tone, and it's really beautiful. And there are a lot of times where I get to play in the high registers, and I really like doing that. And it's just a really fun piece to be playing.
Cool. Very good. I forget which movement you're playing.
The first movement.
First movement. So the movement that launches the piece. Well, as I said, I got to hear you play that in the Kenosha Symphony Youth Auditions, and I was very, very impressed with how beautifully you played it. One of the things that impressed me, Noah, was that we sometimes think of the classical period as a period where it's all about being clean and clear and strict, and because it's not the Romantic period, and so you aren't overtly romantic in the way that you get to be with later repertoire. And yet, you played it with such feeling, and that was the thing that was really cool. It didn't feel sort of cold and precise. It felt very warm and like you were really expressing yourself. And so I want to congratulate you on a really fine performance, and I'm excited that you get to play this yet again with a full symphony orchestra.
Thank you.
So I know that you are also part of the Midwest Young Artists Conservatory, and there you get to play with a string quartet. Tell us a little bit about the special joys that are part of making chamber music.
Playing in a string quartet is really fun because we have a chamber coach, and he's just a faculty member, and he asks us what pieces that we would want to play, and we all agree on one. And we have a weekly rehearsal at a set time, and it's for an hour. And we rehearse our piece, and it's just a lot of fun just playing with each other, and we laugh, and we have these performances at NYA. I believe it's at Ravinia Bennett Gordon Hall, and they're called soirees, and it's where our chamber group, our quartet, gets to perform for a group of people, and we get to perform their piece that we've been working on for weeks. Mm. And it's just a really great experience.
Yeah. How did your particular quartet come together? Were you just assigned to one another?
Yeah, we were just assigned to one another.
Wow. But it sounds like you have a really good chemistry with one another and enjoy playing together.
Yeah.
Very good. So what are your hopes for the future? I mean, you're a sophomore in high school, so it's not like you have to make any hard and fast decisions about what you're going to do after high school, but I suspect you've given it some thought. What are you thinking about at this point?
What I want to do when I'm out of high school is probably go to a music school, and I want to pursue a degree in cello performance. Hmm.
And what kind of playing would you hope to do? I mean, would you like to be a member of a major orchestra someday? Would you love to be a solo performer or in a chamber group, or what? Or aren't you certain of those specifics yet?
I'm not really certain of those. I really love playing in each of those things and each of those styles. I love being a solo performer, but I really love playing the works in major, like in symphony orchestras that are written for them. And I just love playing the parts, and I love all of the string quartets, being able to be communicating with just one other violist, two other violinists, and just looking at each other, and just the connection between everyone it's just a great experience for everything.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, are there other subjects in school aside from orchestra rehearsal that that get you excited, or is music way above everything else in terms of what gets you really engaged and kind of electrified?
Music is probably the subject that gets me really engaged, but the other subject that I would say I like the most in school would be math.
Oh, I've heard that there's a very strong correlation between math and music, so yeah. That is not a real big surprise. Here's one other question. It's maybe a little too personal, but I'm just curious. Do you and your brother, who is a violist, ever get to play together? Or I mean, you were describing how when you were a youngster, you know, you were not interested in following his footsteps and playing a string instrument. I suspect maybe your feelings have changed a little bit since then.
Yeah, for the past few years, for solo and ensemble, we've been playing duets with each other, and I think we've gone to stay almost every time except for maybe once, and it's just been, we have fun, but there are times where we'll argue with each other about what's going on and who has to do what. But I think we both really enjoy the experience when it all comes down to that.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, we're certainly interested to see what comes next for you. But you are a very, very talented young man, and you show tremendous promise in so many different ways. And I'm really glad we had the chance to meet you today and hear about your exciting odyssey with this beautiful instrument, the cello. And we wish you a very successful performance tomorrow night with the Racine Symphony Orchestra, again playing the opening movement of the Franz Josef Haydn Concerto for Cello and Orchestra in C major. In a moment, we're going to be hearing from the conductor of the orchestra, Maestro Pascal Larino. And in whatever is ahead for you, we wish you the very, very best. And I want to, again, thank you for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you.
Noah Mercadillo, my guest in part one of the morning show today here on WGTD. The time is 8:37. And now it's a pleasure to finish out the morning show by talking to the gentleman who will be on the podium conducting tomorrow night's concert, the Spring Masterworks concert, the season finale for the Racine Symphony, namely their artistic director, Maestro Pascal Larino, who is not only going to be conducting, but also doing a bit of playing of his own. And Maestro, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you. A pleasure to be with you, Greg.
So first of all, let me give you an opportunity to talk a bit about the very talented young cellist who is going to be joining the symphony on tomorrow night's concert in the Cello Concerto in C of Franz Josef Haydn. What is your impression of Noah and his gifts?
Well, we have, of course, a very favorable impression. This competition, the Young Artist Competition that Symphony sponsors each year, is really a source of inspiration for me. It gives me hope for the future, because it seems that every year we do this, the talent pool continues to rise, and in Noah we have somebody that is a very sensitive player, has a good awareness of classical style. You know, in some cases with the younger players, they play the romantic repertoire, something that they can really sink their teeth into very well. But Noah has a finesse to his playing that I think is quite mature for his age.
And this Cello Concerto by Haydn is a delightful work. I remember the first time I heard it was in a Jacqueline Dupre recording made many, many, many years ago, and I just fell in love with this piece, head over heels, and it's exciting to have the opportunity to hear it played in person.
Indeed, it's a delightful concerto, as is so much of the music of Haydn. And it's one of the emphasis that I've placed artistically in the mission of the orchestra to represent so many of this master's works. One of the interesting things about the cello concerto, this particular cello concerto, is that it was lost to the world until 1962. It was rediscovered, and it now has a firm place in the repertoire, but it's hard to imagine the classical cello repertoire without it.
Wow. We should mention another work by Haydn that is going to be played on tomorrow night's concert, and the way in which it's going to be played. This is also an innovation that is really something very special, a hallmark of the season finale. Explain to our listeners the other work by Haydn that's going to be played and how it will be played.
Well, we are playing one of the great London symphonies, the final works that Haydn wrote in his presentations of the his symphonic output in London, when he was really at the very height of his fame. The symphony number 102. I think the symphony gets neglected unduly because it doesn't have a nickname. In fact, it missed out on a nickname during the premiere of this symphony. A chandelier fell down, and luckily nobody in the audience was hurt. But it was considered a miracle that the audience was spared at the time. Well. Unfortunately, a publisher attributed that event to a different symphony of Haydn, calling it the miracle, and so it missed out on getting the rightful nickname. but even without a nickname, it is one of the great symphonies that he wrote. And our rather unique way of presenting it is that we have invited high school students to join us side by side in executing this symphony. I have to say, from last night's rehearsal, that I'm very, very encouraged with how they've come prepared to do this masterwork. It's due.
Wonderful. I mentioned in passing that you're going to be doing a little playing of your own. And it will be a piece by one of the great composers of violin music, Heinrich Wieniawski. Tell our listeners about the romance that you're going to be playing.
Yes, this romance is really a beautiful piece, one of my favorite works in the romantic repertoire for the violin. An opportunity for me to I've joked earn money legitimately by playing the instrument. Everyone is aware that the baton is silent, but I do feel that it's important that the orchestra hear my own expressive voice occasionally, and our audiences too. The romance is part of the second violin concerto. It's the slow movement of the second violin concerto, and really one of Wieniawski's loveliest creations.
Mm. And a bit of Gluck to finish out what just looks like an absolutely delightful program, which again is being played tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And I don't remember where Saturday night's concert is being performed.
It is being performed at the Siena Center, which, of course, is a lovely venue. We find it to be an extremely friendly environment with ample parking and just a lovely place to present a concert.
Absolutely. I have fond memories of singing with you in the Mozart Requiem at the Siena Center, and was so impressed by actually how the acoustics there have even improved over what they once were. And it's for being a large space, it's also a surprisingly intimate space where the audience feels like they are right there with the musicians. It's a great, great place for you to perform.
I think so. But good acoustics are only good with good singing, and that we thank you for, Greg.
That was a fun day. So, again, we remind everyone of the finale of the current classical season of the Racine Symphony tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Siena Center, a concert which will feature their Young Artist Competition winner, Noah Mercadillo, in the Haydn Cello Concerto. Haydn Symphony No. 102 will be played in side-by-side fashions with young musicians joining the members of the Racine Symphony. Pascal Larino will be playing the Wieniawski Romance for violin and orchestra, and the overture to the opera Orfeo and Eurydice by Gluck will open up tomorrow night's concert. Well, beyond that, beyond all that happens at tomorrow night's concert, there is then a season of two Lakeside Pops concerts that are looming on the horizon for the orchestra. And I want to give you a chance to talk about both of these concerts. And I want to say I love the name of the first concert, Our American Family. Explain what is going to be on the docket for that particular concert.
Well, we have a proud tradition, even though we do much of European art music in with classical symphony orchestras. We have a proud tradition of a music that was born and bred in this country. So we celebrate that with the All American Fair. Putting, of course, some patriotic music, with America the Beautiful, and but also doing some of the Copland Old American songs, At the River, Simple Gifts, The Dodger, I Bought Me a Cat. A very, very fun fair for the audiences that we hope will be family-friendly and in such a wonderful venue. Continuing with some of the symphonic works of Copland and Billy the Kid, collections from Billy the Kid and Rodeo, and even enjoying a little Richard Rodgers' Oklahoma as well. So it really is Our American Family represented on this program.
Great, great program. It looks like a lot of fun. Again, that will be the 28th of June, and then you have a second Lakeside Pops concert, which is going to be coming up on the 23rd of August. And this is also a wonderful, at least part of the concert represents a new Racine Symphony tradition, Racine Live. Tell our listeners about this, particularly for the sake of any listeners who were not present for the last Racine Live concert.
My intention with the Racine Live program was to cast a wide net in the area to see what was out there, perhaps by offering open auditions to anyone that wanted to present a video for our review, and that included not musical presentations, but also dance and anything that might complement working and collaborating with the symphony orchestra, and see what we would get and what kind of interesting offerings were there. And of course, I think it would be certainly no surprise to you, Greg, that we have just some very, very talented individuals in the orchestra, and so we are representing some of our own in there who felt that they would like to apply, and we have some outside groups and students, including some dancers, who will be joining us for this program. So we're delighted to present a little bit more broader spectrum, the talent pool that we have in our own community.
Fantastic. Is that concert already set, or is that still, in a sense, kind of a work in progress? Are you still looking for talented people to be part of that program, or is that...
At this point, the program is set. Of course, we have to make plans and arranging the music and getting the right personnel to accompany the entry. So we do know who the entries will be this year. As you said, we're establishing an ongoing tradition. We tried this last year for the first time at one of the Lakeside Pops, and we felt that that was so successful and was met with such a positive response by our patrons that we'll do it again this year. And my intention is to continue that tradition. So for those out there that think that they might like to collaborate with the symphony orchestra on some hidden talent that they have, or maybe not so hidden, this is certainly something to think about for the future.
Very good. Is there anything else you want to say about Lakeside Pops, and anything our listeners should know about it, or subscribing to Lakeside Pops?
Certainly it is one of my favorite times of year, the summertime. We've obviously waited so long for the nicer and warmer weather to do it in such a comfortable venue. I've certainly done enough outdoor concerts that it's nice to be in a controlled environment to do these performances, and to see so many people who come year after year and enjoy the amenities of the food, and to sit tableside with friends and family. It is really an environment that beyond the wonderful music, which I'm responsible for, is certainly a congenial setting for our community.
Very good. We invite people who want to know more about the Lakeside Pops season, or the new classical season that will begin in the fall, to go to the Racine Symphony's website, which is racinesymphony.org. You can also call the symphony office at 636-9285 to get more information on being a subscriber to the Racine Symphony or a supporter in any other respect. And, of course, we also want to remind people once again about tomorrow night's concert at the Siena Center that will finish out this current classical season. And it should be a lovely night of music with the music of Haydn, Gluck, and Wieniawski all on the docket. And leading it all from the podium, the artistic director of the Racine Symphony, Maestro Pascal Lorino. Maestro, thank you for joining me today on the morning show. Best wishes to you and all of the musicians of the Racine Symphony.
Thank you so much, Greg.
And the time is exactly 8:52 here on WGTD. To finish out, we want to remind you about a couple of things that are going on at Carthage this weekend. First of all, this is the final weekend of performances of the musical Flora the Red Menace by Candor and Ebb. They are the composers of Chicago and Cabaret, but this was their first collaboration. This is the vehicle that gave Liza Minnelli her exciting Broadway debut. And it's very rarely done and a real treat. And tonight and tomorrow night are the final performances at Carthage College in Wartburg Auditorium. And you can go to carthage.edu/tickets to get more information about Flora the Red Menace. And then Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock in the recital hall, it is the spring performance of Carthage's Opera Workshop. And in this particular case, it's going to be a concert that is devoted first to some of the opera music of Mozart, and then finishes out with some wonderful bonbons, if you will, from the world of operetta. And we're going to hear a little bit of the delightful quintet, which comes from Act One of Mozart's Magic Flute, in which the birdcatcher Papageno, much to his displeasure, had his mouth padlock shut. And but then the three ladies come by to release him, and then set Papageno and Tamino on a long journey. Here's the quintet from Magic Flute.
Er parle schon Strafe sagen, denn seine Sprache ist dahin. Ich gar nicht so, als dich beklagen, weil ich zu schwach zu helfen bin. Ich kann nicht so, als dich beklagen, weil ich zu schwach zu helfen bin. Weil ich
Music of Mozart, the Act One Quintet from Die Zauberflöte, the Magic Flute. This sequence is part of Carthage's Opera Workshop performance. It's going to be Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, in Carthage's Recital Hall. Admission is free. Opera music of Mozart in the first half, and some lovely treats from the world of operetta in the second. The time is exactly 8:59. Monday on the morning show, you will hear my conversation with David Solomon, author of a very intriguing book called The Seven Deadly Sins, How Sin Influenced the West from the Middle Ages to the Modern Era, a meticulously researched and very, very well-written book. On Tuesday, it's the monthly visit of Nan Calvert, and she'll be talking about the new canoe and kayaking season at the Rec in Racine. On Wednesday, Sammy Weber, a native of the nation of Cameroon, visiting Carthage next week, giving a presentation titled Addressing the Roots of Poverty in Broken Economic Systems. Next Thursday, Jim Schatzman will join us, Artistic Director of the Choral Arts Society of Southeastern Wisconsin. Their current season is about to end with a concert devoted to the music of the Beatles. And Gateway Technical College President Brian Albrecht will be our guest.